Where I am going, you know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Good job. Even Rakai was doing it there. You just graduated, and we're thanking God for that wonderful graduation that you've just had. Today, brothers and sisters, what I want to focus on is really just three verses in our readings today. Two from the gospel, one from our second reading. And they are the sort of the key to what we want to develop today on the coincidence of so many feast days coming together. The first of which is, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? The second is, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And the third is, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his own wonderful light. Those three phrases, and I'm going to ask you who said them, so if you need to look it up right now to be ready for the answer, here's your hint. So let's begin. Begin with that. The first phrase there is, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Who said that?
Thomas.
That's right. Thomas. He's a special Thomas. He's not just a regular Thomas. He's St. Thomas. But we usually call him Doubting Thomas. Because remember, he's the one who wanted to put his hands in the very wounds of Christ and would not believe that he was risen unless he did so. Thomas speaks again here. And here he's asking what I think is a very fair question of Jesus. Because what he's trying to do, he's listening closely to what Jesus is trying to say as he's trying to explain to him what heaven is like. And he turns to him and says, look, Master, look, Lord, first, where is heaven located? Where is it? And then when you tell me where it is, then I can find out where it's supposed to be, but I don't even know where it is to begin with. Master, where is this heaven which you speak of? Because I do want to go there. That's a fair question. But what Jesus does is it gives him an opportunity to be able to explain something which is deeper in a way which Thomas himself is not expecting him to answer. Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what does that mean? Jesus isn't just giving him an answer to his question. He isn't just giving him an answer. He is saying, I am the answer. Jesus is identifying himself with heaven, with the place where Thomas and all Christians who put their trust in God totally and abandon all their sins, that's where they're going to reside for all eternity, in Christ. So Jesus explains it in three ways. He says, I am the truth. I am the way, rather, first. He begins to say, I am the way, which means what? Which means if I am the way, follow me. Go where it is that I go. Do what it is that I have done. You don't need to look any further to find any street signs or anything like that. Just keep your eyes focused upon me, like we talked about last week when we were seeing Christ as the Good Shepherd. Focus on me. I will speak to you and I will guide you and lead you. I am the example for your life. You have nothing to fear if you stick with me, if you follow me, keep your gaze upon me, and put your trust in me. As it says beautifully in that divine mercy image which we have over to the east. Put your trust in me. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. But he doesn't leave it there. Jesus takes it further and he says, but I am also the truth. And what does he mean by that? Jesus means by that to say, you can know everything. Every question that is plaguing your heart, every difficulty that is confusing you in the moment, you can know it if first, only if you know me. Because if you know me, you will begin to see all these things revealed to you. More and more every day as you spend that time in prayer like we discussed yesterday, which is the way in which we put ourselves into God, and we allow ourselves to put our trust in Him, the more and more we spend that time listening to His voice, we can begin to understand the deepest yearnings of our own human hearts. Because He's the one who created the entire thing in the universe, and the more and more we know Him, those things will be revealed to us as well. Because Jesus is the eternal Word, the incarnate Word, the very wisdom of God spoken for us, the truth. And the closer we are to the truth and the more acquainted we are with truth in prayer, the more the difficulties in our lives begin to make sense. Because Jesus, being truth, speaks His words to counteract the lies of the evil one. As we learned last week, has come only to steal, to kill or slaughter, and to destroy. That's our good shepherd. He's the truth. And He says again, to reiterate exactly what He said last week, I am the life. Jesus is life. Christ is our life. And we know that this is all review from last week because that's what our Lord said. He said that in me and through me, you can have hope and fullness of life that you long for in the very depths of your soul. You can have a hope for your very own room in God's house in heaven because He has gone to prepare a way for us. He says, in my Father's house, sorrows will turn to joys. All your weakness will be found strong in my strength. And your life grows more and more alive as you put yourself in me and as eternity unfolds for you. He said, I offer to you not just regular life, everyday getting by life. I offer you life in abundance. If you but drink from my waters, if you but stay with me, you can have that life to be more alive than anyone else who is around you. Life to the full, if you just hitch your ride to His wagon. That's what our Lord offers for us, saying He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ truly is the living water which is able to quench our every thirst. He's the light which scatters out all the darkness in our lives. And the quest of every human heart is just to find satisfaction of our deepest needs by seeking Him face to face. That's our Lord. That is our good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life. St. Augustine said it very well, and many of you are very familiar with this phrase from his Confessions. He said, our hearts are ever restless until at last they find rest in Thee, O Lord. And so our hearts are, until we allow Christ to be our way, to allow Him to speak His truth and to come to know Him as truth, and to let His life reside within us. That's what our Lord has for us today. That's how He answers how we can know where to go. It's in Him. That's the first message. But the second message that our Lord has for us today is a question. Another question from another apostle who says, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Who said that?
Philip.
Man, Mr. Bobby Mares, you're on it. Philip. St. Philip. The great St. Philip. He says this question. He asks here, Master, just show us the Father and that will be enough. Well, this is a good question too. What he's trying to get at is that if there is a Son, shouldn't there also be a Father? And I've seen the Son, but I also want to know who the Father is. I want to know where the originator of this Son is. Just show me who is the source. That's what he's looking for. And it gives Jesus a beautiful opportunity to reveal to something that each one of us knows, even our first communicants. You know this. Do we serve one God? Yes, we do. But is He three persons? Yes, He is. This is the divine Trinity and gets to explain that He and the Father are one. The two are always with one another and can never be separated from one another. This is the great mystery of the Trinity. Those of you who come to Daily Mass 2 weeks ago know that we had an entire homily and Bible study on this very subject going through the Athanasian Creed, which is all about the one and three God, the three who are also one. But it's even deeper than this. It's deeper than this because if the Father and the Son are one, if there's a Father and a Son, is that how life comes into the world anew? Just with a Father giving birth to a Son? That's not the way it works biologically. That means there's also a mother. A mother. And so if we want to see the Father, that is a good thing. But we need to see the mother too. The mother, because there is a mother whom Jesus came from. The mother is important. And it is to say, show us the mother as well. Isn't what did Jesus say at the very foot of the cross when who was there? What did he speak those words? The Blessed Virgin Mary was there, and St. John. He turned to her and he said to St. John, behold your mother. So what he's saying is, I want to show you my mother, who is also your mother. Mothers are important things, and today we celebrate the day of our mothers. We want to show who you are. And really, what the desire of every son, and I believe the desire of every daughter, though I've never been one, is also to give honor to our mothers. To see that without us, without you, we would not be able to be in existence. And so today, as we celebrate each one of you who have this divine gift of maternity, of care, and of love, it's found most beautifully within our own mother. And so, Jesus, as a perfect son, what is he constantly doing? Showing his mother. You can go throughout the history of the 2,000 years of the church, and time again, since the very first centuries, Jesus has sent his mother to visit us. In many, many approved apparitions all throughout the world. Not just in Italy, where she's appeared countless times. Not just in Spain or in Europe. But even as far as she has appeared in China, in Japan, in Korea, in various places in Africa. Even here in the United States she has appeared. She's appeared everywhere, and most preeminently in Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is our mother and the patroness of the Americas. Our mother is important. And in this weekend of the 100th year of Our Lady of Fatima, we turn to her, asking her for her maternal guidance, to see that she is the very source of Christ's human nature. And so too, she becomes the source of what our human nature is supposed to be like if we are to remain faithful to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to look upon her, who is our patroness, and to see her work lived out in our lives as well. That's the second point. And the third point, brothers and sisters, is from our second reading. And it says that a great encouragement which should be familiar to many of us. Beautiful songs have been written about this passage. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart, a holy nation, so that you may announce the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. Now, who said that? It's a little more difficult, huh? It doesn't say somebody said it right beforehand. You got to look at the very top of the page and then you'll see it. St. Peter. St. Peter said that. Our first pope said that. St. Peter spoke these words, had them written down, because this is his letter. And so, brothers and sisters, this should be important to us because it maps onto all the things which we've spoken about. We are special. We're special, and we know so because we have a mother. We have a mother who seeks to spend her time and to spend herself for us. We talked about the hundreds of apparitions that have happened all throughout the world. Hundreds of them which have been approved by the church as being legitimate instances where the Blessed Mother has come to show us her love. But she doesn't come usually to important people. She doesn't come usually to kings and to princes. She doesn't show herself often to priests. But when you find her as Father Gruber was here just this week to speak to us about, she doesn't come to important people. She comes to places which are far off in the middle of nowhere. She comes to visit people who are standing in the fields. She comes to spend her time with those who are poor and have no or little education. Especially she loves to spend time with those who work with sheep. Just like those three little children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. She likes to spend time with people who are in far off places, who are not thought of as important by many. I wonder when she's going to appear here in Vaughan. You see, our mother, has particular care for those who are weak. And so, brothers and sisters, here we can find our own weakness. We can find our own things which we fail so greatly in. But the beautiful thing is that we have a mother who seeks to bring her son most surely into our lives, who seeks not to gain anything from us or to get her to get us to focus upon her, except for in the fact that by knowing that when we focus upon her, then we can see most truly her son. See your own dignity, brothers and sisters, that you are a chosen people. That Our Lady wants to make us a royal nation. That she wants to see that we live out our universal priesthood in Christ through our baptism, so that we can announce God's praises to the very ends of the earth. That even in whatever darkness we may find ourselves in, and everywhere Our Lady appears, there is great darkness. Sadly, even in our community, there is immense darkness. Immense darkness in every soul which does not seek to encounter God constantly on Sunday Mass. Darkness which, without which being healed, ends in eternal destruction and damnation. So Our Lady of Fatima says, pray the rosary so that souls may be filled with Christ's light. She says, pray the rosary so that the wars which God has promised and has sent and the errors of Russia and communism may cease, that atheism may be destroyed within our world and Christ may reign eternal. She leaves us in hope, reminding us that in the end, her will be accomplished because the Immaculate Heart will triumph. So she leaves us in hope that out of the darkness that is lurking within our own lives and even here within our own town, it will not be the end of the story, but rather he wishes to bring us into his own marvelous light. And so as we lay ourselves today at the feet of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Fatima, recalling her own maternity over us and especially over us who have our entire parish dedicated to her, that we can, in the end, triumph through her Immaculate Heart and find that Jesus really is who he says that he is. That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way that you and I can ever get back to the Father. We have to put our trust in him, and she'll show us the way to the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.